Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
What's up? Am I the only one? It's like, I want to dance, like, while that music's going on. I don't know. So, hey, welcome back to week three of our series, The Best Summer Ever. If this is your first week with us, I want to spend a moment kind of onboarding you, helping you know what we've been talking about. Or if you've been here each and every week, this will just be a little bit of a review. So this whole series is centered on the idea that if we want to have the best summer ever, if we want to have the best life ever, then God must be central in our summer. And Colossians 1:18 has served as the guiding scripture for this entire series. I want to read it to you, Colossians 1:18. It says, Jesus is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have, what's it say, first place in everything. It's just another way of saying that we want Jesus to be first place, central in every aspect of our lives. And in week one, we've been using different imagery for each week of the series, things that we maybe associate with the summer. And so week one was the imagery of a swimming pool. And just as the opening of the pool often signals the opening of summer, and we talked about baptism and how baptism is the starting point. It's the end of our old way of life and a new start with Jesus. And then last week, who remembers what our image was? A grill, that's right. We talked about a relational approach to evangelism, sharing our faith, because that's helping other people have the best summer ever. We studied a guy named Levi, watched his example. And today, our image, this is actually one from me, is a family reunion. Now, contrary to popular belief, that is not me mean mugging in the corner, because this photo is from 1952. I got this from my mom. But this is one of my family's family reunions. And, I love family reunions because it gives you the opportunity, especially for me. I was an only child. I still am. I'm still an only child. My parents didn't just all of a sudden, hey, we got a new kid, you know. I guess they could, but anyway, squirrel. Sorry, back in track. All right, so I'm an only child. I love going to family reunions because that's when my cousins would be there. We would get to hang out, seeing people that hadn't seen in a long time. Which, can we also admit, does this ever happen at a family reunion? And you're like looking around, you're like, who is that? Like, who is that person? And it's like, yeah, that's your fifth cousin or, you know, something. So anyway, what in the world does a family reunion have to do with Jesus? What does it have to do with having the best summer ever? You know, family reunions seem to bring together a lot of elements. Of course, there's family, it's in the name, but then also there's often food. Can we get an amen to that? Yes, that's great. There's a like fellowship, like reconnecting with one another, and I want to show you today that the church is very much like a family reunion. You may not recognize it, but you are actually participating in a family reunion right now. Right now, you are participating in a family reunion because every Sunday is a family reunion. That's the title of today's message is Family Reunion. We're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 19. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open up there. But I want to go ahead and give you the big idea. If you're taking notes, this is kind of going to be a roadmap to where we're going today. And here's the big idea is every Sunday is a family reunion where we gather to participate, celebrate, and anticipate. Every Sunday is a family reunion, and we participate, celebrate, and anticipate. So before we read today's text, I want to give you a little context. I want to help you to understand what we're reading. We're going to be looking at the book of Hebrews, and if you're not familiar with the book of Hebrews, the audience, the original people that would have received this were of Jewish background, okay? Now, the book of Hebrews, a lot of people think that it's more like a sermon because there's a lot of, like, exhortation, a lot of encouragement. And here's the situation they were facing. They had a Jewish background, and they had come to believe that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah, that he was the conclusion that they had been waiting for in their faith. But now that some of them began following Jesus, they've started facing some social pressure. They started facing a little bit of persecution. both social and religious, and they are now being tempted to turn away from Jesus and then to turn back to Judaism. And so the writer of Hebrews is writing to encourage them to say, if you do that, if you leave Jesus, it's like you're going back to a dead faith. You're going back to a faith that it's like going back to the shadow, because Jesus was the reality. Jesus was the telos. He was the end of which all of the Old Testament scriptures were pointing. And so he talks about how Jesus is superior to Moses and angels, and it's a lot of Jewish stuff. So if you're like, man, I'm not very familiar with the Old Testament, that's okay. I'm going to bring you on board, because we're going to have some references in today's text. But what we're going to see is that the writer is going to encourage God's family, this family of believers, of some steps that they can take in order to not only stay together, but to keep following after Jesus. So that's our context. We're going to read Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. I'll invite you to stand with me. And there's going to be some phrases that are in bold. And you don't have to read it all, but when we get to the bold phrases, I want you to say those out loud with me. So here we go. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary through the blood of Jesus, he has inaugurated for us a new and living way through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together. Oh, let's try that again. Y'all are supposed to read that part. See, it's in bold. Y'all forgot. Oh, sorry. It's up now. Sorry. I'm looking down here. I didn't know. So let's try it again. On the count of three, we'll start reading the dark part. All right, one, two, three. Not neglecting to gather together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you that you want to speak to us. Help us to just recognize that this is a family gathering. Help us to make a priority to gather as a family, to worship you, to celebrate as we look forward to the day that you will return and we will be with you forever. So just speak to us today through your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can be seated unless you just want to be awkward and stand up the whole time. It's always an option. So if you're taking notes, here's the first thing I want you to write down is, we are family. We are family. Oh, y'all are good. Y'all beat the first service. Like, all my brothers, sisters. Okay, see, you've already memorized part of the first text, okay? We are family, and we see that in the very first words that we read, Hebrews 10, 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters. Now, growing up in church, you know, before I really understood a lot of the scripture, I would hear people be like, good morning, brother. How are you doing, sister? I'm like, man, everybody's related. Like, everybody. It's only later that I recognized that it actually speaks of our identity as God's people. That one of the primary identities that we have is that we are part of God's family. Now, just like some of your translations, if you're reading in your Bible, it may just say, therefore, brothers. But you notice in our verse, they've translated brothers and sisters. And that's correct, because in the original language, the term can sometimes refer to just brothers, but it's really about siblings. So some of our primary ways of seeing our relationship with one another in the church is seeing that we are siblings, that we're brothers and sisters. And just like your family and my family, there's a couple of ways that you can join a family. The first is that you can be born into a family, or you can be adopted into a family. And the scripture uses both of those ideas to speak of how we join God's family. Now, he doesn't speak of physical birth, but he does speak of spiritual birth, of being born again, of having the new birth. And I want to show you these two ways of entering God's family, because the question is, when it says we are family, who is it talking about? Because the truth is just because you show up at Next Level or any other church does not automatically make you a part of the family. Now, we hope that you become a part of the family, and I'm about to share with you, how do you know that you're a part of God's family? How do you know that as you showed up at this family reunion, that you have your brothers and sisters? So the first thing that we see is Scripture speaks about being born into the family of God, the new birth. John 1, starting in verse 12. It says, but to all who did receive him, it's talking about Jesus. To all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be, what's it say? Children of God, to those who believe in his name. So he's given this parallel of receiving Christ, believing in Christ, that when that happens, we are given the right to be called children of God. And now he continues, who were born not of natural descent or of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of whom? But of God. And there's another story in John chapter 3 of this same book where Jesus has an encounter with a guy named Nicodemus, and he tells him, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus is confused. He's like, am I supposed to get back in the belly? That would be awkward. I don't know how you do that. But Jesus is speaking of a spiritual reality. And Scripture speaks of that when we come to faith in Christ, that when we come to recognize that we have sinned, that we've turned away from God, and that we call out to Christ in faith, that we are born again. And at that point, we become spiritual infants. And then our goal is to grow up into maturity. So here's one thing, and I just want to bring a clarity. Every single person is created in the image of God, okay? So all of us, all people, no matter what their faith is or anything, has God as their creator, but we only have God as our Father through faith in Jesus. All of us are created in the image of God. God is our creator, but God becomes our Father through Jesus. And I want to show you this, because it gives us the other idea of how we enter the family of God, is it uses the idea of adoption. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For all those led by God's Spirit are what? God's sons. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, also what? Heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we also may be glorified with him. Now, it's interesting. At the very beginning, it says that we are all God's sons. And you're like, well, aren't we sons and daughters? The reason he uses the language of sons is because it was the son who got all of the inheritance. And so it's his way of saying that all of us will receive an inheritance from God because he is our Father. And that's that language of what it means. It says that we are heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. And it's through this spirit of adoption, it's through the Holy Spirit coming and joining in us, that we can do what? We cry out, Abba, Father. Think about when Jesus taught his disciples to pray. How did he begin? Our Father. So what I want you to see is that we become children of God, sons and daughters of God, through faith in Jesus and through the Holy Spirit coming to live inside of us. And so that means that every person that's here, that you are a follower of Jesus, you are a Christian, you are someone that has repented of your sin and placed your faith in Christ, you are part of God's family. You have God as your Father, and we have one another as brothers and sisters. So we are family. And I said that every single week that we gather, that we are celebrating, it's like a family reunion, because we're all coming together to celebrate our unity. But then when we come together, so when we gather on Sundays, and this is not just Sundays, really any time God's people are gathered together, whether that's small groups in your home or you're coming together, it is like a family reunion. And I want to share with you three things that I think we should participate and emphasize during our gatherings. First, we gather to celebrate. We gather to celebrate. Now, I want you to look and see in verses 19 through 21 that the writer gives us reasons to celebrate. Now, it's gonna refer to some Jewish background that I'm going to explain, so just hang on with me. Hebrews 10, starting in verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have boldness to enter the sanctuary, through the blood of Jesus, he has inaugurated for us a new and living way through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a high priest over the house of God. Okay, so the writer of Hebrews says, hey, I'm going to give you two reasons to celebrate. And the first is he says, we have boldness to enter the sanctuary. And second, he says, since we have a high priest. And what these two phrases refer to is both our access to God. How do we have access to God? And so I want to back up for a second and give you a little bit of the background, because you're like, what's all this talk about curtains and high priest and all this stuff, okay? So it used to be that there was a physical temple. And inside of that, in that temple, there were these outer courts where anybody could come and hang out. It didn't matter if you were Jews or Gentiles, you could come and hang out there. Then there was another part where just the Jewish people could come. But then there was these inner parts where only the priest, the various priests that would serve and go and burn incense and do different daily tasks, only certain of them could come into that part. And then there was this one part, the very center of the temple. It was called the Holy of Holies. It was where God's presence was most clearly shown. And not anybody could just go into there. If all of a sudden you were like, I'm going to sneak into the Holy of Holies, dead. Like that, like death. Like that's what happens, right? And you're like dragging it. It's like, man, Johnny should have done something different, you know? So you couldn't just like waltz into there, because it represented the holiness of God, the set-apartness of God. And the truth is none of us in and of ourselves are holy. We all have sin. And so not just anybody could go in there. You had to be a priest, and not just any priest. It was the high priest who could go in there. And he couldn't just waltz in there. He's like, it's Friday, I'm going to go hang out, you know, at the Holy of Holies. He couldn't even do that. There was only certain times that he could go in there. And he would first have to go through making cleansing for his own sin. And then he would come into the Holy of Holies representing God's people. So think about this. Your direct access to God was something that was mediated to you. It wasn't something you could just walk into the presence of God. And it says that there was this curtain, because there was this huge curtain that separated everything. But I want to show you something amazing happened through Jesus. It actually happened while Jesus was on the cross, and whenever he cries out, it is finished. And we read this in Mark chapter 15. Jesus let out a loud cry and breathed his last. Then the curtain of the temple was torn in two from where? The top to the bottom. Now I've got an image. This is like an artist's rendition of what this would have looked like. As you see, the curtain is huge, right? It's not like curtains over your window. This is like huge, okay? Now, and you see like people, I don't know if you can see the image, it's like people are like, oh, what's happening, right? So when Jesus died, when he breathed his last, something miraculous happened. That curtain tore from the top to the bottom. And you know what that's representing? It's significant. We're told that it was tore from the top to the bottom because it was God himself who was opening the way. It was God himself, because he was pleased with what his son had done, the sacrifice that he had made on behalf of us, that it was signaling the access to me is now open. And that's what the writer of Hebrews means. He says, through the tearing of the curtain, but notice he says, which is his flesh. You see, our access to God is now through Jesus. And every week when we gather, we don't have to wait for a high priest to go make sacrifice for us. We don't have to, it's not only certain people get to come into that area. All of us get to come boldly into the presence of God because of what Jesus has done. And that means that you don't have to have a mediator, like a physical mediator, because Jesus is now your high priest. So you can come boldly into the presence of God. And that doesn't just happen in this one place. This happens wherever you go. Scripture actually says that we are God's temple. Did you know that? See, this building is just a building. But you and I are God's people. We are God's temple, and his Holy Spirit dwells within us. And what a privilege we have that we have access to the God of the universe by faith in Jesus. Isn't that amazing? And so every single week, we get to come and celebrate that. Man, y'all need to listen faster. I got a whole lot more to say. Okay, sorry. But notice, he gives us a response, because there's always a response to what God has done. That's really what worship is. Worship is a response in light of who God is and what he's done. So we come to celebrate during this family reunion because of what he's done. And he gives us two ways that we celebrate. Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. With our heart sprinkled what? Clean. And an evil conscience. And our bodies washed in pure water. Let's just stop right there. Do you know that through the blood of Jesus, no matter what sin you have ever committed, he wipes it clean? There is nothing you can do. There is no sin that is so grotesque that it cannot be washed clean. And see, some people believe that lie. They believe there's certain things that they do that there's no way God can forgive them. But this scripture is celebrating, and it's saying, because of what Jesus has done, let us come boldly and let us draw near to God. See, instead of having to be in fear of God, we get to come into his presence as a father. And he's like, child, I'm so glad that you're here. And then continues on, and he says, let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering. Do y'all see how that's really relevant to the people here? They're being tempted to turn away and to not hold on to their original confession, their original faith. And can I tell you that we live in a world that is constantly trying to pull us away from Jesus, trying to pull us away from our faith. And the writer says one of the great ways we celebrate is by holding on to our confession, holding on to our hope, because he who promised is what? Faithful. God is faithful, and even in the midst of persecution or difficulties, we can trust him. So we have lots of reason to celebrate. So we gather, we come together, and we celebrate, but we also, when we gather, we come to participate. Now, this is the part of the message that I think is going to be challenging, okay? And I want you to lean in, and here's why. Because I think most of us, we don't have the idea of participation whenever we come to gather for this family reunion. Instead of coming with this idea of I'm coming to participate, we often just say, okay, I'm just coming to receive. So we kind of have this idea. It's like, man, I hope they sing good today, right? Man, I hope his preaching is good. Hope he makes me laugh, because if he doesn't, I won't be mad. I want my money back. Wait, it's free. But we're going to see that every time we come for this family gathering, there's a calling for us to participate. Now, how many of you, if you've had a family reunion, you've been there, you've been asked to bring something, right? Maybe you bring a dish. You're like, all right, you bring the mac and cheese, and then Linda, you bring the plates and the paper because your cooking's not good. But they, sorry. Okay, we don't actually say that to people, right? But like, the idea is we all come and we contribute. So part of our contribution is being there, right? You're invited to the family room and you show up and fellowshipping with one another, but maybe you actually bring something. I want you to see that we actually have a calling to participate in each of our Sunday gatherings. Hebrews 10:24. He's going to share three things with us, three ways that we participate. And let us consider one another in order to do what? Provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other. So three things, two in the positive, one in the negative. He's like, all right, we need to consider one another. We need to not neglect gathering together, and we need to encourage one another. Now, I want to read a quote to you that I think is just so instructive about this text, that I think is very helpful, and it was, as I encountered it, it was like a little bit of a light bulb for me, and I want to share it with you. It says, this is from an article called The Worst Consequence of Skipping Church. All of us who are involved in local churches have seen people waver and wander in their commitment. Right? I mean, we've sometimes been those people, right? And so it's not just necessarily everybody else. And I think our time of COVID has really, it's made it easier and convenient to sometimes miss. And so sometimes we can get into a bad habit, right? So he continues. We insist that those who are skipping church are neglecting to participate in the local church, that they will encounter spiritual temptation, spiritual decline, and even spiritual death. And while all this is true, it is not the emphasis of that of this passage. Okay, so here's what he's saying. It is true that you personally, if you choose to separate yourself, not join the family reunion, you get out of that habit, that there's going to be some spiritual consequences for you. But he says that's actually not the emphasis of this passage. He continues. This passage does not warn us that when we skip church, we put ourselves at risk. Rather, it warns us that when we skip church, we put other people at risk. The first sin of skipping church is the sin of failing to love others. Let that just rest on you for a second. See, we're so us-centered that we think it's all about me, but have you ever considered that when you choose to get into the habit of skipping out on the family gatherings, it's actually a demonstration of your lack of love for your brothers and sisters? Y'all are like, this makes me uncomfortable. Let's finish the quote. Gathering with God's people is not first about being blessed, but about being a blessing. It's not first about getting, but about giving. As we prepare to worship on Sunday morning, our first consideration should be how to stir up one another to love and good works. We should approach Sunday deliberately, eager to do good to others and be a blessing to them. I'm curious how many of us woke up today and said, you know, I can't wait to get to church so I can go be a blessing to somebody else. I can't wait to get to church so I can participate. Now, don't mishear me. I think we gather and we each gain. It's mutually beneficial. But I think it's a totally different mindset that says that when I'm coming together, that I'm actually needed and my participation is needed. And so I want to share with you for the next few moments, I want to share just some practical ways I think we can participate. Okay? They're not going to be on your screen. Just listen, write. And just say yes to whatever God is speaking to you through his spirit. First, we can participate by praying. What if you just spent time before you even got here just praying? Praying over the people that are going to be gathering here. Praying for first-time guests, that they would feel welcome. Praying for people that are serving, that they would that the love of Jesus would be demonstrated. Praying for whoever's preaching. Praying for those working with kids. Praying for yourself. God, hey, I want to hear from you today. I want my life to be different. Praying for the people you're going to be sitting beside. Just praying about everything. Praying for people that don't yet know Christ, that they would come to Christ. And what if we, you know, when we, I think our prayers lead it, that's a one of the huge ways of participation because it's a demonstration of where our heart is. And then what if we participated by singing? Now, let me pause. I know some of y'all are like, but my voice isn't good, but I didn't brush my teeth, but I don't know the word. Okay, I get it. Sometimes when you, if you don't know a song, you want to meditate on it for a minute. I get that. Okay, this is, but have you ever thought about the practical function of singing? What if everybody sang like you sang? For some of you, that would mean nobody sings. And you're like, wait, this is challenging. There's no verse that says you only sing if your voice is good. It doesn't say that. We're actually to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. And the reason for that is it encourages one another. It's like, it's a way of saying, I'm not in this alone. I'm with other people that are celebrating. It's a demonstration of our unity. And so, you know, we need to just get past ourselves. Can I just tell you that? It's not about you. It's not about you. So some of you that are making excuses of why you never sing, get over yourself and love other people and open up your mouth and say that he's worthy. Sorry, y'all are getting a little rougher this. I don't know why, because somebody needs to hear that. We can participate by welcoming people. Y'all, one of the consequences of where we've been is that we got so used to, because of COVID and germs, we got used to coming in and rushing out, right? And it's time for us to break that habit. It's time for us to get back to actually having relationships with each other, actually stopping and pausing. That means you're actually looking for people that are new here, and you're like, hey, I don't know you. It's nice to meet you. And they may be like, hey, I've been going here for a year. It's like, well, great. We're finally meeting, okay? Now, let me go ahead and let me cut some awkward tension, because I know this happens. There's some of you, you've been talking to each other for the last year, but you forgot each other's name, even though you have conversations all the time, okay? So maybe we'll have name tag Sunday or something like that. But just, you know, it's okay. Just be, you know, just like, hey, I know we talk every week. Remind me of your name. I'm really bad at that. Like, what if we actually spent time fellowshipping with each other? And this is another thing. What if you actually showed up early for church sometime and actually hung out with each other? Or after? Anyway, there's so much more to say. Y'all listen fast. Come on. Last thing I'll share with you about participation is, what if you participate through serving? Now, it's not just on Sundays that we have opportunities to serve. Like on Wednesday nights, we have student ministry, and that's going to be starting up really, I mean, we're already meeting, but so maybe you want to come and participate and serve and hang out with other people, participate. There's lots of ways you can participate on Sunday mornings, and I think when you're on a team, that it helps you to realize that it's not about me, it's about other people. Participate in serving on one of our welcome teams. Parking, greeting, guest services, hospitality. Maybe you serve on our worship team. Maybe you join the band or sound, presentation, lights, our online service that we just talked about today. Serving on our kids team. You check people in. You do security. You work with infants all the way up to elementary. Maybe you join the prayer team. The point is, there's lots of ways that you can participate and you're needed. And it just helps us to not just come into this with a consumer mentality. It helps us to step in and say, it's not just about me. It's about one another. And here's where we're going to close today, and this is going to get us to the Lord's Supper, and I'm going to go over a few minutes, and I kind of apologize. We gather to anticipate. Hebrews 10:25. So he just says, He's just said, okay, we need to consider how to stir each other up to love and good works and not neglect meeting together and encourage one another. And notice in verse 25, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What's the day he's talking about? It's the day of the return of Christ. Because we're told that just as Jesus was taken up from us, that he will return again. And when he does, he will establish a new heavens and a new earth where we will dwell forever with him. See, our final experience is not like floating as spirits up in the heavens. Our final experience is that we're given new resurrection bodies and we dwell on a new heavens and new earth with no pain, no suffering, with all believers of all time. That's what we're waiting for. So our weekly family reunions are anticipating the grand family reunion where all of God's people for all time will be face to face with our Father, face to face with the Son who has brought us into the family. And that's what we anticipate every single week. And did you know that Jesus actually gave us a way that brings all of these things together as part of our family reunion? And it's the Lord's Supper. If you're taking notes, write this down. As we participate in the Lord's Supper, we celebrate our unity as brothers and sisters, and we anticipate the day when we will join Jesus at the table face to face. Matthew 26 says this. This is Jesus. He says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and he blessed and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples. He said, take and eat it. This is my body. And then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them and said, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. But notice this. But I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Do y'all see how it brings together this whole family thing? Jesus is like, he's sharing, he's like, all right, I'm going to give you this to do in remembrance, but this is the last time I'm going to participate in this with you until we are reunited at the Father's table at the Father's kingdom. And so he gave us this supper to remind us of this, and the Apostle Paul picked up on this as well, this same thing of anticipation. 1 Corinthians 11:26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death for how long? Until he comes. So every week is our family gathering, and this family gathering is here to help us remember. And so if you got, I call this the Jesus snack pack. I do want to say something about it because it's not as readily apparent to us. When Jesus started the Lord's Supper, there was only one loaf of bread. And he broke that one loaf and he distributed it. And that was pointing to our unity together. It was pointing that we are one body in Christ. We are one family. And that we are all participating. And it took the broken body of Jesus, represented by the bread being broken, for us to be brought into fellowship. And so I invite you right now to, in unity with your brothers and sisters, to do this in remembrance of him. And then Jesus, they would have had one cup, and they would have passed this cup around to each person. Again, representing that we are all partakers in the blood of Jesus, because it represents us being forgiven. That it took the shedding of Jesus' blood for us to be forgiven, for us to be clean. And so I invite you now to do this in remembrance of him. And I want to close by reading this verse. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16 says, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, and we who are many are one body, since all of us share the one bread. Church, family, what are you going to take from this message? Are you going to come each and every week realizing you're invited to the family gathering and you're coming here to celebrate what Jesus has done, how he's brought us into his family, to participate and then to anticipate his return, to celebrate him until he comes back? Would you join me just in a moment of prayer? Father, we thank you for your scripture, your word. We thank you for this tangible way of us celebrating what you've done for us, the forgiveness of sins we have through Jesus, of our unity together. And Jesus, we look forward to the day when we will see you face to face, where our faith will become sight, where all the inheritance that you promised that we will receive it, to dwell with you forever in peace, in prosperity, in fullness of life. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So guess what? You're invited to the next family gathering. It happens every week. And maybe you need to invite somebody to come hang out with this family in the hopes that they become family too. And here's what I want to leave you with. So just who is it that you need to invite? How is it that you need to participate? How are you going to live out this message? How are you going to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer?
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.